And greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, wenihao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, half a day, guten tag, salam, shalom, peace now, go vegan, peace now, how? Go vegan. Well, from the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison killitary industrial corporation in the bribocratic corruptocracy of the United States of Listeria, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, veganizing for your protection, airwaves and computer screens and iPods across America and around the world, with a simple goal in mind and,
I know, you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
And, no, that's not the goal. It's to save the animals from suffering and death and, to save your family's lives and to save the planet Earth. So we have a lot of work to do, and the best place where you can start is to go vegan. That's it, right now. That's all it takes. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand the impact of a completely vegetarian, vegan human population. But if you want a rocket scientist, how about Master Blaster Albert Einstein? Not only did he say that E equals MC squared, he also said that he believed that the greatest chance for survival of all life on Earth is our transformation to a vegetarian diet. Well, a little bit later on today's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, we will actually talk to a scientist, Jim Donovan of Nutru. You know, the fish oil craze is it's engulfing the nation, engulfing the world. We know the harm it does. To each individual fish, but how is the fish oil craze threatening the ocean? It's amazing, and what a craze it is. I mean, I was just so upset last week hearing a very unaware segment of a program called The Aware Show on KPFK, the Pacifica outlet in Los Angeles, where you would expect progressive talk, and there it was like a snake oil salesperson. It was fish oil salesperson. What a craze it is. But there is a vegan solution, and so we look at omegas and 3 as a way to save the ocean. And we'll talk to Jim about that later in the hour. In fact, nowadays, the oceans are in great peril, and we will examine the overall conditions of the oceans today with David Helvarg. He's the author of 50 Ways to Save the Ocean. We will go over his complete biography shortly, but he is a very impressive journalist. And you'll also be able to enter a drawing for copies of 50 Ways to Save the Ocean at the Nutru booth at Expo West, the Natural Products Expo, coming up this weekend at the Anaheim Convention Center. So we'll be talking more about that later in the hour. And we get so busy on this program, perhaps we didn't give proper observance. You realize that the Chinese New Year was just celebrated. It went from the year of the dog to the year of the pig. And, animals who must be saying, hey, the way you treat us, choose somebody else, you know. But closing out the year of the dog, it was revealed on CBS2 report in Chicago saying, quote, investigation finds faux fur, often dog hair. An undercover video from the Humane Society of the United States shows a domesticated breed of dog in China used to make fur coats. It also found coats sold at Burlington Coat Factory in Virginia with labels saying the fur wasn't real. In one case, the label said nylon coyote fur. And coats were also purchased at Lord & Taylor and Macy's. And out of 25 coats tested, 24 tested positive for dog fur. And the websites, shoptommy.com and nordstrom.com. We're also selling coats and vests, yes, with dog fur. And that is no way to treat a friend, especially man's best friend, right? Our best friend. And yet, here's another way not to treat man's best friend. And it started yesterday with the annual, it's Alaska's Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race. Unfortunately, there it was again, starting yesterday, a grueling trek of over 1,000 miles where dogs are forced to run an average of 125 miles daily in the harshest of conditions, sub-zero temperatures and blinding snowstorms and biting winds, and dogs can fall through the ice into the frigid waters, and their feet become bruised and bloodied and cut, and there are muscle pulls and stress fractures and diarrhea and dehydration and ulcers and hypothermia. And dogs do die every year in the Iditarod. Sled dog myopathy is literally being run to death. And that's what happens to these dogs. So please ask the Iditarod sponsors to end their association with this very cruel race. And the Iditarod sponsors include Wells Fargo Bank, Chevron, Panasonic, Alaska Airlines, and Daimler Chrysler. And I would also like to offer, something else that happens to dogs, which is very sad to happen to our best friend. When the dogs are unwanted, and because too many have been allowed to breed and weren't spayed or neutered, then our best friend is condemned to death at the pound. But that's the subject for next week, when our guest is Nathan Winograd of No Kill Solutions. Nathan Winograd, our guest next week on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And I'd like to offer my No Kill solution for the animal of the year, as it is now the year of the pig. So my solution, stop eating her. Stop eating pigs. She's an intelligent, affectionate animal, too. And pigs have been characterized as smarter than dogs, with the intelligence greater than a 3-year-old human child. And nobody's saying, let's slap some mayonnaise on your 2-year-old kid, huh? So pigs are actually clean and won't soil their living area if given the opportunity not to do so. They also like tummy rubs and music and respond to their names and... you know, while their grunts may sound like Greek to us, it is a vocabulary of about 20 variations that they themselves understand. The vocabulary that they don't understand, though, would be words like ham and bacon and sausage and pork. The inhumane human betrayal that those words represent that puts this little piggy and millions of others, one at a time, each one suffering at the slaughterhouse line, the disassembly line, you know, hoisted by one leg and stabbed and skinned and dismembered and boiled, often while still fully conscious, screaming. You know, I had someone contact me once. He was painting the outside of the Farmer John pig murdering facility in Vernon, California, painting the happy little bucolic figures of pigs running freely and happily on a farm, while the exact opposite was happening inside. And but this painter told me he'd been haunted ever since doing those paintings. He'd been haunted by the cries and the screams that he heard. He said they sounded so much like humans. And holy cow, if you heard the cries and screams yourself, could you eat their tortured bodies, now called ham and bacon and sausage and pork? No, don't eat, babe. Don't do it. And, you know, you don't have to put a ham sandwich in your child's lunchbox when there are so many wonderful deli slices, vegan deli slices out there from companies like Tofurky and Eve's and so many others. Or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich would be much better in the lunchbox. Now, you know, a school lunchbox shouldn't be a risk to your child, huh? And as meat is, you know, tied in with heart disease and cancer and stroke and diabetes and obesity and all of those problems. So your school lunchbox should not be a risk to your child's health. And actually, the school lunchbox itself shouldn't be a risk to your child's health. But, you know, here's the weird story that documents just obtained under the Freedom of Information Act have revealed that the U.S. government, the U.S. government's own Consumer Protection Safety Commission, concealed evidence indicating dangerously high levels of lead in children's plastic lunchboxes. The agency in 2005 contradicted claims from the nonprofit Center for Environmental Health of high lead levels in plastic lunchboxes, and the official government line was saying that those lunchboxes posed no health problems, and now information released shows the government agency's own research showing lead contamination up to 16 times higher than that which is allowed in lead paint. So, you know, why did your government lie to you? Well, just assume when the government is speaking to you that just assume it's a lie, huh? You know, unbelievable. So what we do know is that the lunch boxes to avoid are made of PVC, typically the squishy plastic type of lunch boxes, of bag boxes. And you can also order a lead lunchbox testing kit from the Center for Environmental Health. And you would go to the website, testyourlunchbox.com. testyourlunchbox.com. So, you know, your lunchbox shouldn't be a threat to your children's health, nor should be what's in the lunchbox, nor should what's in the lunchbox be a threat to our environment. But that it is, fairly recently there was an article in Rolling Stone, the article entitled Boss Hog, written by Jeff Teets, and it said America's top pork producer churns out a sea of waste that has destroyed rivers, killed millions of fish, and generated one of the largest fines in EPA history. Welcome to the dark side of the other white meat. And the article talks about Smithfield Foods, the largest and most profitable pork producer in the world, killing 27 million hogs last year. And in the article, it considers the weight of a pig at slaughter to be 50% more than the average human. So the task of Smithfield basically is to turn what's the equivalent of the human populations of America's 32 largest cities into edible packages of meat. And that's quite the monumental task. But the real monumental task is the monument of excrement produced. It says, hogs produce three times the excrement of humans. The 500,000 pigs at a single Smithfield facility in Utah produce more excrement than the 1.5 million human inhabitants of Manhattan. And it's estimated that Smithfield's total yearly fecal discharge is 26 million tons, which would fill four Yankee stadiums, or four Yankee stadia. I think that's the correct plural in Latin. So Smithfield's pigs live by the hundreds of thousands in warehouse-like barns and rows of wall-to-wall pens. No sunlight, no straw, no fresh air, no earth. It's a tragedy all the way around. And the EPA has cited Smithfield for thousands of violations of the Clean Water Act. Documented violations totaled 74, at the time that Smithfield's CEO, Joseph Luter III, said that his company theoretically could have been charged with 2.5 million violations. So, there. Danger in the lunchbox today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And we will also explore the condition of the oceans coming up with David Helvarg, and talk about a solution that we get from Nutru with Jim Donovan. And I ask that you support this program with a tax-deductible donation, which you can make at goveganradio.com or goveganradio.org. Yes, a tax-deductible contribution would be greatly appreciated, as we have to pay for the airtime each and every week. We said it's a bribocracy, and yes, cash has to exchange hands for us to actually be on the airwaves. If we weren't here now, it would be a commercial for McDevils or Murder King or Wendy's or Kills Jr., Up Chuck E. Cheese or Skin and Snout. Skin and Snout, that's what a hamburger is all about. So, I need your help. You can also write a check to Go Vegan Radio. Go Vegan Radio is a project of 501c3 International Humanities Center. So write your check to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, California, 92164. That's P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, 92164. Please help. Please help the animals. Please help the word spread that people need to go vegan to save the environment, to save their lives, and to save the animals. how would you like to run on solar power? Well, you can with Sunshine Burger since 1983. Now it's your turn to discover the delicious simplicity of organic vegan ingredients with protein-packed Sunshine Burgers. Protein from the sunflower, energy from the sun. Sunshine Burgers, simply delicious from simple ingredients like the original. Certified organic ground raw sunflower seeds, brown rice, carrots, herbs, and sea salt. Totally delicious. Or try the organic, zesty, southwestern Sunshine Burger with ground raw sunflower seeds, brown rice, carrots, black beans, bell peppers, cilantro, garlic, jalapeno, cumin seeds, onion, and sea salt. Magnifico. Look for Sunshine Burgers in the frozen food section of your natural foods market, where you'll also find the barbecue Sunshine Burger with natural smoke flavor. No soy, no wheat, gluten-free Sunshine Burgers. Protein from the sunflower kernel. Also rich in fiber and potassium, iron, and vitamin E. The gourmet burger since 1983. Oven-baked, pre-cooked, heat and serve. And you are solar powered, too. You can visit sunshineburger.com. Also, if you are having any problems locating Sunshine Burger in your natural foods market, do speak to the manager. There's a high demand for them, and the manager sometimes needs to be reminded to reorder. So definitely voice your desire for Sunshine Burger.
Oh, no, now it looks like they're giving the people animal burgers.
No way, no way. Not when there's Sunshine Burger. No. Okay, and you know, we've talked a lot about raw food, living foods here. Last week, David Wolf was our guest on the program, which you can hear archived at goveganradio.com. So if you're looking to dine on wonderful food that's organic and raw and vegan and fresh and delicious and affordable, may I suggest Leaf Cuisine, now with three locations in the Los Angeles area. And you can see the entire menu at leafcuisine.com, Leaf, L-E-A-F, leafcuisine.com. Look at the wonderful appetizers like raw slaw and hummus, seaweed salad, guacamole, taco Mexicano, mock salmon nori rolls. Huh? You can enjoy the soup of the day or the Middle Eastern lentil, organic fresh squeezed juices. Check out the archive for what's David Wolf's favorite squeeze juice? Check the archive at goveganradio.com last week, huh? And you can have organic fresh squeezed juices yourself at Leaf Cuisine. There's a wonderful tea there, the agave ginger lemon tea. You'll enjoy that. And then there are wraps and salads like a Garden Delight and Bedouin Burrito and the Veggie Sun Burger and the Flying Falafel and Bombay Burrito and Mediterranean Medley and Wakame Wonder and Holy Moly Guacamole and Holy Moly. Seems like there are so many choices. Which would you choose? Well, try the Trinity Sampler and you get a good sampling of a lot of the wonderful dishes at Leaf Cuisine. The house specialties include pizza, kale salad, lasagna, and pad thai. Delicious smoothies. My favorite is the tropical trip. Mango, papaya, pineapple, banana, dates, coconut milk. Very delicious. It's leafcuisine.com, where you'll find desserts that are dairy-free and wheat-free. In fact, everything is vegan. Chocolate brownies and carrot cake and purely parfait and strawberry mousse tort and no mouse tort, mousse tort, apple pie, and the arroyo pudding. Again, as I say, all vegan, all delicious. And look for Leaf Cuisine foods packed fresh daily at retail outlets throughout the Los Angeles area, including Irwan Natural Foods and the Santa Monica Co-op, PC Greens, and Elixir Tonic and Teas in West Hollywood, and Sophie's Produce in Beverly Hills. But dine at Leaf Cuisine itself. You will enjoy it. Three area locations. Los Angeles, 11938 West Washington Boulevard. That's a few blocks west of the 405, just east of Inglewood Boulevard. In Sherman Oaks at 14318 Ventura Boulevard at Beverly Glen in the Oak Ridge Plaza. And the new location in West Hollywood at 8365 Santa Monica Boulevard, two blocks east of La Cienega at the corner of Santa Monica and Kings Road. All of the locations, the hours, the menu, all of that is at leafcuisine.com.
Thank you.
with Bob Linden.
The planet's first vegan radio program in commercial, corporate, meaty. And today we are happy to have David Helvarg on the program. David Helvarg is president of the Blue Frontier Campaign and the author of three books, Blue Frontier, Dispatches from America's Ocean Wilderness, The War Against the Greens, and 50 Ways to Save the Ocean. He's editor of the Ocean and Coastal Conservation Guide, organizer of several Blue Vision conferences for ocean activists, and winner of Coastal Living Magazine's 2005 Leadership Award. Helvarg worked as a war correspondent in Northern Ireland and Central America, covered a range of issues from military science to the AIDS epidemic, and has reported from every continent, including Antarctica. He's an award-winning journalist, having produced more than 40 broadcast documentaries for PBS and Discovery Channel and others, and his print work has appeared in publications including the New York Times, LA Times, Smithsonian, Popular Science, Sierra, and The Nation, radio work on The Marketplace, AP, and Pacifica. Well, I guess we're out of time, but thanks anyway for being here, David Helvarg.
Hey, it's been a pleasure, Bob.
That's quite an impressive impressive resume that you have there, and yet somehow your interest in all of your work as a journalist, a lot of it focuses on the ocean. How have you come to be so interested in the oceans yourself?
Well, just I guess it started, you know, when I was about six and went to my elementary school and found the swamp out behind it. Used to build reed forts and pretend we're, you know, Francis Marion, the swamp fox, and go on to Long Island Sound into the water and start swimming and playing in there. And it was just, you know, like a lot of people, you find it by living by the shore and discovering its wonder. I mean, when I was a little kid in camp, I used to look up at the stars and be kind of bothered, upset that I was, you know, I thought I'd missed exploring alien worlds by a generation. And then when I was 15, my Mom took my sister and me down to Key West, Florida, and I got a face mask and snorkel and realized there are whole other alien worlds right here in our oceans, you know, big living rocks and hammerhead sharks and giant turtles, and it's a whole other world. It's 97% actually of the living habitat of this planet is salt water. So, you know, today I took a break from working on my next book and went walking in Rock Creek Park because we just had a good snowfall here, and then it's also part of the ocean. You know, the ocean evaporates the water that forms the clouds. It comes back as rain and snow down our mountain sheds and into our watersheds. And you know, this is who we are. We're you know, land creatures on an ocean planet.
And well, one of your books is 50 Ways to Save the Ocean, which would suggest that there are at least 50 perils. How are the oceans imperiled now?
Well, there's really a cascading series of disasters that are confronting what have been our living seas for millennia, including industrial-scale overfishing for the global seafood market, using military technologies that really developed in World War II and have led to this kind of a war of extinction on many edible marine species. There's a recent report in Science magazine saying that if we continue the way we're going, most of the edible species of marine wildlife will be extinct by mid-century. On top of this, you're seeing the coastal sprawl, the overbuilding on the salt marshes and the wetlands that act as the nurseries and the filters of the sea. And as you cement over watersheds, you find that if you make impervious surfaces, that if you put concrete over more than 10% of a watershed, water quality inevitably declines, and as I say, we lose these vital coastal resources that really provide the habitats we need if we hope to restore marine wilderness. We have, you know, pollution, runoff pollution, and this is a lot where issues of food choices come in. A lot of this You know, we know we're increasing carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Most people don't know we've doubled the nitrogen cycle in the last 50 years, largely a result of both emitting fossil fuels as tailpipe emissions, but also the use of chemical fertilizers, petroleum-based nitrogen and phosphates. And when you put 140 pounds of fertilizer to grow an acre of corn in Iowa, well, that surplus tends to follow gravity. That surplus becomes nutrient runoff, and you get a second crop of algae in the Gulf of Mexico the following spring. All that synthetic chemical waste runs down the streams and rivers into the Mississippi and floods out into the waters of the Gulf, where it creates these algae blooms, and as bacteria feed on them, they suck all the dissolved oxygen out of the water, create these massive dead zones. And so you have, you know, these problems of overfishing, of coastal sprawl, of pollution, and on top of this, fossil fuel-fired climate change, which is warming and raising sea levels, intensifying hurricanes, and actually acidifying the oceans. They're becoming more acidic. It makes it harder for shell-forming critters like clams and corals to create their homes. And I've you know, had both kind of the fortune and horror of being places like Florida and Fiji and Australia, and talking to the top coral scientists, seeing the coral bleaching that's a result of this human-inspired warming, and being told by these scientists that even if we convert out of fossil fuels tomorrow, we could still lose half the world's tropical reefs to the heat we've already created. So there are these real major horrors in you know, facing our oceans, and I guess I wrote a lot about them in Blue Frontier, and then people would come to me and they'd say, well, you know, what can I do about the collapse of marine wilderness, or, you know, marine wildlife, or climate change? I've got a, you know, a family, a job, whatever. And the answer, of course, is you're already doing something about it. The things we do every day have impacts around the seas around us. The choice really is just to become conscious of those impacts and to make the right choices. And generally what I found is with these 50 ways is the choices that are right for the ocean also tend to be right for us in terms of our own health, lifestyle, pocketbook, and just sense of self-worth, that it's not too late to turn the tide, and that you can be part of something larger than yourself. And really that we get so much out of the ocean in terms of recreation, transportation, trade, energy, protein, just that sense of awe and wonder that you experience, that I experience when I go to the beach or onto the water or under it, that you want to give something back.
Mm. And will you have a book, 50 Ways to Save the Ocean? What are some of the practical main ways specifically?
Well, aside from talking about, you know, joining beach cleanups or you know, how to be a blue boater or, you know, diving, things that you'd expect, you know, counting the fish, then doing light housekeeping for them, which is one of the things about diving for science and conservation. But a lot of other things, just like eating organic and vegetarian foods, and vegan foods, of course. Because, as I say, there's so much synthetic chemicals used in farming. If we eat more organic, we're going to reduce those impacts, because there's so much water waste and runoff from industrial factory farming of cattle and hogs. And a lot of these big factory farms have located in the floodplain. So when you have flooding like you did in North Carolina in 99, you have massive overflow of these so-called manure lagoons that the factory farms produced, and that created massive offshore pollution. And also just, you know, supporting local farmers and local produce so that we shorten the transportation lines, eating locally and seasonally foods, so that you don't have 1,100 miles transportation like you do for some of the foods you have in your corporate supermarkets, where you're burning fossil fuels and transport, you're adding fossil fuels in terms of the synthetic add-ons in industrial agriculture. All those can change. The way we, you know, other ways we live, you know, using more fuel-efficient transport or taking public transport or biking or walking when you can, because, again, so much of the transportation emissions, carbon dioxide, that add to global warming, that impact the oceans in so many ways. Energy choices, you know, using, you know, more energy efficient use of your home and green energy, because in this country, in the U.S., half our electric power is still generated by coal-fired power plants. They're not only the most carbon intensive of the greenhouse gases, but they put mercury, a neurotoxin, up the smokestack, and that will rain out into the ocean and come back to us through the food web as for people who still eat fish, as a neurotoxin in your tuna fish sandwich.
Right. Yeah.
So as I say, you know, growing a natural yard and garden, because or even playing on a natural golf course that meets the highest standards. They have the Audubon Platinum Standard that. Basically not using synthetic fertilizers and not over, you know, irrigating these places. And the same, of course, applies, you know, in the way, you know, creating a rain garden, for example, just a shallow depression planted with perennials reduces runoff from your property. So much of coastal pollution is runoff from urban properties, you know, in our cities. Once we pave them over, everything tends to run off into the storm drains. And, you know, I talked to the director of sanitation in Los Angeles, the former director. She was talking about what happens with the first winter rain. She calls it the big flush, because imagine 80 square miles of paved over depression, which is essentially the L.A. plain, and you have everything that's accumulated over the year until then, you know, the droppings and the lawn chemicals and the dog poop, and all of this becomes part of your ocean pollution problem. So, you know, it's we talk about things like, instead of 1 inch of rain off a paved driveway, we'll run 900 gallons into your storm drain. If you take, you know, if you replace that paved driveway with gravel or shell or permapavers, which they now have, which actually have, you know, have openings so that the rainwater will percolate back into the ground instead of running off. As I say, there are not only lots of solutions, but there are lots of kind of resources to use. The back of our book, we list organizations and companies and people that you can contact to, you know, kind of pursue the different approaches that we talk about. And you know, it's as I say, I mean, the reason that I'm not completely depressed by the situation, I mean, it's a very scary situation, the state of our ocean planet and our climate. But on the other hand, when I was writing Blue Frontier, I met these hundreds of watermen and women, you know, surfers and scientists and you know, even developers and business people who figured out that, as have two major ocean commissions, that if we, you know, protect our marine environment and restore it, that we're actually protecting our coastal communities, we're protecting our economy and the things we love. And on you know, the other hand, if we allow the ecological collapse to continue, we threaten not only our environment, but our economy, our national security. It's all tied into being part of a sustainable part of our living blue planet.
Yes, indeed. We are talking to David Helvarg, and his book, 50 Ways to Save the Ocean, we will have copies to give away at the Natural Products Expo at the Nutru booth. We'll be giving copies away at the Nutru booth, and that's starting this Friday, March 9th. I'll be at the Nutru booth at 2:30 in the afternoon, believe it or not, with vegan shrimp cocktails from Vegetarian Plus, and we'll start the entries at that time, and throughout the weekend, people will be able to enter to win a copy of 50 Ways to Save the Ocean from David Helvarg. How can people get in touch or get a hold of the book if they're not going to be at the Natural Products Expo?
If they're not at the expo, the book's available, either book, Blue Frontier or 50 Ways. They're in bookstores, they're online, and of course, to learn more about what we're trying to do in terms of helping to build what we call a seaweed or marine grassroots rebellion, they could go to our website. Blue Frontier Campaign's website is bluefront.org.
Bluefront.org, bluefront.org. Just a few minutes here, we're going to talk to Jim Donovan of Nutru, and his company puts out a vegan omega-3. And right now, I mean, I think the oceans are being depleted for essential fatty acids. That's an amazing thing that's happening, too.
It is amazing. It's actually one of our 50 ways is, you know, don't deplete the oceans for vanity's sake. I mean, you know, they talk about things like the, you know, vitamin D you can get out of shark liver oil. Well, you know, you can also get it from dark green vegetables, just like your mom told you when you were growing up. I mean,
right.
there's definitely alternatives, you know, that are healthy and tasteful, and that's a lot what you're about, obviously.
Obviously, sure. And instead of getting the omega, the fatty acids, through fish, the fish get them through algae, so we can eliminate the middle fish here and get it directly from the plant source, as you mentioned in the case of vitamin D and so much.
You know, when I'm out there in Northern California in the water, I don't mind, you know, reaching out and taking a nice bite of some bull kelp. You know, it's pretty tasty and salty. There's a lot of fresh sea vegetables out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and algae's. She's the most abundant plant on Earth. It's good for many things, including giving us most of the oxygen we need to survive.
Right. Well, highly recommended reading, 50 Ways to Save the Ocean from David Helvarg. I want to thank you so much for being with us today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden and for this very enlightening conversation.
Thank you, Bob. Keep up your good work.
Thanks so much. David Helvarg on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Normally, we say, please turn off all cell phones when recording the radio broadcast, but at least this way I could get Jim Donovan the right phone number for the studio line so we can talk to him in just a couple of moments here on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And right now, let us do the calendar, okay? Calendar of events. Bay Area Vegetarians announces its latest advocacy event. It's Sundays and Advocacy. The third Sunday of each month, meet at 3 p.m. at Maggie Mudd in Bernal Heights for delicious Sunday and Advocacy. Yes, vegan Sunday, huh? Pens and paper and envelopes will be provided for letter-writing campaigns. Bring the names of your state and federal legislators, and if you don't know who they are, go to votesmart.org, votesmart.org. So it's Sundays and Advocacy. That's S-U-N-D-A-E, huh? Sundays and Advocacy, the third Sunday of each month starting March 18th at Maggie Mudd. March 18th at Maggie Mudd. And coming up the first day of spring, it is the annual Meat Out. Yes, it's Meat Out 2007. This year, kicking the meat habit on the first day of spring, that's what's encouraged. But we also keep in mind the effects of meat eating on global warming. A lot of important information coming out from the United Nations in a number of studies. So we would like that to be a part of Meat Out this year. Have you planned your Meat Out event? Some people will offer passers-by samples of wholesome, convenient, delicious veggie burgers or soy dogs and chicken nuggets or faux chicken nuggets. And others will hold a wide gamut of colorful educational events ranging from elaborate life festivals and a congressional reception to public dinners and cooking demonstrations and exhibits and simple information tables, which are called stakeouts, S-T-E-A-K, stakeouts. So get involved with Meat Out. This is the 23rd annual observance of the Great American Meat Out, the world's largest annual grassroots diet education campaign. And celebrity headliners include Joaquin Phoenix and Alicia Silverstone, Bill Maher, James Cromwell, Casey Kasem, Mary Tyler Moore, Ed Asner. Meat Out draws massive support from consumer and environmental and animal protection advocates, as well as from public officials and healthcare providers and meat-free food manufacturers and retailers and educators and the mass media. So get involved, and, you know, there are so many reasons to kick the meat habit: health, environment, and for the animals. Go to the website. Go to farmusa.org, farmusa.org, and check out what's happening with Meat Out and register your event. And also at farmusa.org, read about Animal Rights 2007, the national conference. It's happening at the Westin LAX Hotel, July 19th through the 23rd. It's the world's largest and oldest animal rights conference, with hundreds of sessions, including workshops, rap sessions, reports, 80 speakers from all sectors of animal protection, plans to defeat Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, and all sorts of wonderful subjects going on. You know, there'll be more of an intellectual exchange than goes on in the U.S. Senate, where they're not even allowed to mention that there's a war going on. Shh, don't mention it. Can't mention that in the U.S. Senate. But the subjects that really matter will be at Animal Rights 2007. Yes, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act and global warming and the treatment of animals. There's the AR Hall of Fame and 60 videos and 80 free exhibits open to the public and gourmet vegan meals and musical entertainment and just lots going on. So get yourself registered. You can do so at the website. Go to farmusa.org, farmusa.org. If you want to register by phone, call toll-free 888-FARM-USA, 888-FARM-USA. There are low-income and group discounts, and if you're a student, you might want to volunteer. There's the awards banquet on Sunday that's just $30. And so, yes, get involved. This is the conference, and we look forward to seeing you there. Animal Rights 2007, happening July 19th through the 23rd at the Westin LAX Hotel in Los Angeles. And Jim Donovan is on the phone. We just concluded our discussion with David Helvarg and his book, 50 Ways to Save the Ocean. And we'll be giving that book away. Come to the Nutru booth, at the Natural Products Expo, Expo West. It's this coming weekend. It starts Friday, March 9th, 2:30 p.m. I'll be at the Nutru booth, which is number 5147, Hall E in the New Trends Pavilion. We will have vegan shrimp cocktails on hand from Vegetarian Plus, and you can start entering for the book, 50 Ways to Save the Ocean. And Jim Donovan, welcome back to Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Thank you, Bob. Glad to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. We were just talking with David Helvarg about ways to save the ocean, and you actually have a very practical way in one of your most popular products, which is Omega Zen 3, which is vegan essential fatty acid, DHA. And thank you for your contribution to saving the oceans.
Well, you're most welcome. And I think that you made a very important point previously that a lot of people aren't familiar with the fact that Omega-3 does come from marine algae. It's not produced by fish, but it's rather derived from algae sources in the ocean that the fish consume, whether it be other fish or species such as krill consuming the algae directly. So this is a very key point with what's going on in terms of depleting depletion of fisheries and how much fish have to be utilized in terms of creating fish oil type products.
Yeah, that's a major misconception. I didn't even know that. As I mentioned to you on the phone earlier in the week, I listened to a program last week called The Aware Show on KPFK, and they were pushing fish oil supplements very heavily, which is surprising to me for a non-commercial progressive talk station as that was. And she had some doctor on the phone, and he was saying, well, you know, make sure you don't get farmed fish. You want to get the wild fish, because they eat algae. And so, you know, that's what comes to mind. Well, with your product, you can eliminate the middle fish, because fish aren't made of omega-3 fatty acids then, which I think is a major misconception.
That's a crucial point. And if you look at human brain development and when human brain evolution really started to take off, you can trace it back to the consumption of algae-based foods, that is, marine algae-based foods. That was a big step in terms of increased brain power, concentration, and everything that goes along with that. So this is a very important fact, and some people think that if you get omega-3s from fish, you get omega-3s that are more effective, but actually that makes no difference whatsoever. The fish are, of course, getting it from the marine algae source, so it's the same source. And our product, Omega Zen 3, is highly concentrated, and it's a once-a-day formulation, so you can easily get all the omega-3s that you need in one simple vegan capsule formulation.
Without the health risks associated with bad cholesterol with fish supplementation also.
And also some of the toxicity issues that come up from fish oil type products, you know, being contaminated with PCBs and mercury and everything else. They claim to be able to remove these substances sometimes, but it can be very difficult, even with molecular distillation and other technologies that are being utilized. So this type of marine algae source is very, very interesting and not so well known yet by the American public. So I think you're doing a great service, Bob, by getting the word out there so that a lot of people are now taking fish oils, and it's received a lot of attention, but very few people in the media know that it is available from marine algae at a reasonable cost.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very good thing.
And it's Omega Zen 3 from your company, which is Nutru, available at Whole Foods, and people can go to your website, Nutru.com, Nutru.com, and you have it in a vegan capsule and liquid now.
Yes, there's a liquid formulation for people that don't want to take capsules, or children that, of course, aren't taking capsules, or older people that don't want to be swallowing capsules, or people that want to put it into smoothies and add it to the beverage of their choice. And this allows them to take the kind of dosage that they want very quickly and effectively. So this is a good thing as well. And again, it's all vegan with organic grape.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very nice combo, and a lot of mothers really appreciate it for their children. So we're glad to have that feedback.
Right, yeah, and then you're not depleting the oceans, again, with this product, the vegan Omega Zen 3.
Exactly, I mean, and this is the whole key that we're pushing, is sustainability in terms of not only oceans, but in terms of our daily lifestyles. So, Americans, I was just watching The Inconvenient Truth here with Al Gore, and basic lifestyle changes, whether it means being more attuned to the vegan lifestyle, being more attuned to local produce and local suppliers, driving less, driving cars that don't consume a lot of gas, getting away from the giant SUVs, and supporting the sorts of movements that you're talking about, Bob. This is all key if we're going to have any sort of lifestyle which is similar to what we have now after 2050.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So we have to start thinking in that direction, And we're glad that people like you are out there talking about this, because this is what we need. We need this desperately.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to be at the Natural Products Expo, Expo West, starting this Friday. So I invite people to come over and say hi at booth 5147, Hall E, New Trends Pavilion. I'll be there 2:30 in the afternoon on Friday with shrimp cocktails, vegan shrimp cocktails, because fish isn't brain food, and use your brain and you won't use fish for your omega fatty acids either. So we'll have shrimp cocktails from Vegetarian Plus at booth 5147, Hall E, New Trends Pavilion, 2:30 on Friday. Then you can enter throughout the weekend for David Helvarg's book, 50 Ways to Save the Ocean. We have a couple of minutes here, Jim. You have a couple of other wonderful... Your company is totally vegan, and and you have a couple of other products, Itokachi 2 and Lycoten 6 also, right?
Yeah, the Itokachi is a product that's synergistic with the Omega-Zen, Omega-3 DHA product that we have, Tocotrienol, which is a certain... type of vitamin E is very effective with omega-3. It accentuates it. And also the phosphatidylserine product that we have, P-Tidalway, also complements the omega-Zen 3 DHA product that we have, because it works on the same part of the brain in terms of fatty acid structure and even at the cellular level. So these products work in synergy. And Lycoten is the first real vegan lycopene product with 15 milligrams of lycopene. And lycopene has received a lot of attention in relation to certain prostate issues, and also has been looked at in terms of women's health as well. So we've had a big demand for the vegan lycopene as well. And that's available in Whole Foods, as is the Itokachi, the Tocotrienol product, and the Omega-Zen liquid.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the DHA supplement, low levels of DHA have been found in persons with heart disease and high blood pressure and cancer and Alzheimer's and attention deficit disorder, depression, insomnia, stress, hyperactivity, and dyslexia, and DHA supplementation seems to help. It's the important nutrient, isn't it?
It's a crucial nutrient, and just about everybody agrees, no matter which health column you're reading, that omega-3 DHA is one of the most important nutrients that you can put into your body on a daily basis, and has a double effect, both in terms of brain health and heart health.
Okay.
So the benefits are many, and it's a very interesting development in terms of nutraceutical development.
Yes. Thank you, Jim Donovan of Nutru, the website, NUTRU.com, Nutru.com. See you at Expo West.
Looking forward to it, Bob, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And heading around the LA area, stop by Truly, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard, wonderful vegan restaurant, 323-466-7958. You'll love it. We're out of time. Please make a donation at GoVeganRadio.com.